to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline we go right now. He's coming to town midweek, and he's here for two reasons. For his main job as one of the voices of the St. Louis Blues, but also he's going to be honored Wednesday night at the arena at TD Place, named one of the 50 greatest Ottawa 67s in their history. Of course, the 67s continue to celebrate their 50th anniversary season. We say good morning to Darren Pang. Panger, thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stephen, Todd. And I'm looking forward to getting to Ottawa for a number of different reasons. That being one of them, obviously, I'm just so incredibly honored to be, to be named the top 50 is something else. And I think getting to Ottawa, too, is special for me, guys, because just getting back and seeing family and then getting to do a hockey game is actually the Blues and the Senators game is something that is very much secondary on my list. It's always seeing family and then going there and being part of the Ottawa 67s, an organization that has been absolutely magnificent to me and rekindled my hockey career thanks to Brian Kilray. So thanks to Brian, he got me out of the doldrums in Belleville and brought me into Ottawa and made me feel like $1 million. So I'm very thankful for that.
Well, and I was going to kind of lead into that. So I know you've told this story before. So you're in Belleville and you get a chance to come back to your hometown, and it went so well, obviously, with the Ottawa 67s. Can you just take us through that process as you're a young man and you're hoping for a better situation, and Killer made it happen?
Yeah, well, he sure did. And I'll even go back a little bit further. I was playing a minor midget for the Nepean Raiders and made the midget major AAA team. I guess we call it that. I'm not even sure we call it AAA back then. But anyway, whatever the top midget team was. And just before that training camp, I was brazen enough to personally call Brian Kilray and ask him for a tryout with the 67th. Killer was, answered the phone like he always does, and no cell phone, of course, back then, and just called the office. And Brian said, Darren, we know who you are, and, we like our Ottawa kids, but we're all set here at our camp. Have a good year with the, playing midget and then, playing tier two or whatever, and we'll keep our eye on you. Well, as it turns out, I was drafted by the Belleville Bulls, which was an expansion team, because the Gloucester Rangers picked me up after they beat us out as a tier two team with the Raiders. And guys like Gary Galley were on that team, and Charlie Henry was the coach, and we lost to Belleville in game 7 to get to the Centennial Cup. And while I was going through the line there, their owner, Doc Vaughn, actually shook my head and said, "Look around, son, because you're coming back." Little did I know that the Belleville Bulls were going to take me in the draft. And it was a great opportunity, but it was not a veteran team that had won. It was an expansion team, and I found it very difficult. And my game was going floundering south. I was in the most troubling spot in my entire hockey career. I lacked confidence. I didn't want to play. And Larry Mavity brought me into his office one morning in November, in my second year. And he said, "Darren," he says, I got two teams that I'm going to trade you to." And he kind of said it bluntly like that. And he said, one's, "What do you think of the Windsor Spitfires?" And I said, "Oh, no, please no." And he said, "Well, what would you think of the Ottawa 67s? And I said, "Yes." So, as it turns out, Brian Kilray's on the other line. They already had it set up. Mavity scared the daylights out of me, sent me back to Ottawa. And the first game, Killer says to me, "I know you're a cocky kid and all that stuff." He kind of gave me one of those speeches, but "we're going to play tonight in Kingston. You think you can play?" And I said, "Absolutely." And we played and we won. And I just felt at home for 2 years there in Ottawa. And that was thanks to Killer.
Well, Killer was a guy that I think would get on people, but how did he also then, instill confidence in them as well?
Well, that's a great question because, I know that several players and friends have gone through Ottawa with Killer and they found him to be tough and all that kind of stuff. Well, the one way I can describe Brian Kilray is he knew when to knock you down a peg or two. And I always found that he knocked you down a peg or two, at least me anyway, when I was full of confidence. And maybe overly cocky, which I had a tendency to be. Then he knocked me down, and that made me better. But when I was really struggling and I really needed a lift, boy, he had a great ability to pick me back up, and other players as well. I recall a game which I was terrible, and I gave up a couple of goals between the legs, and he pulled me in the game, but then he put me back in. And in the third period, we were dominating by that point. But I made one or two saves in the third, and the next day he just, he couldn't wait to tell people how those two big saves were the difference in the hockey game. And, I believed him. that's how we could do it. Todd, I believed that what he said was right. And I just, all of a sudden, I, I went from a guy that gave up three really crappy goals to a guy that made a couple of okay saves, and then I felt like $1 million. And I started the next day, and, you know, we probably went on a 10-game route again because of the way he could handle me. And so, I mean, those are the things that you try to describe to people about coaching. And it was the difference between me being, a player that lasted 2 years with Brian Kilray rather than maybe playing 2 years in the OHL with Belleville and maybe being out of the league. My confidence was so shattered. And he really picked me up and he glued me back together again.
Tell us about Darren Pangs, our guest here. Tell us about just how good the Memorial Cup team was.
What a wonderful team. We the year before, and guys like Jeff Vive and Johnny Olson that's local there, they will tell you that year before, the year I got traded, boy, we could have challenged for the cup that year too. That was disappointing that we didn't get there. So the next year, a new group of faces kind of carried it on. Our D was unbelievable. Mark Patterson, I grew up playing with Mark Patterson. We played Tyke, Adam, Pee-wee, Midget, and Tier 2 together. And then we ended up together with the Ottawa 67s, and he was a horse on the blue line. Nothing fancy about his game, but he did protect the front of the net. And then Bruce Cassidy was as calm, cool, and collected as you'll ever find. One of the most talented players I've ever played with. And then Brad Shaw was just the ultimate captain. And then, we had so many guys like Gary Roberts and Don McLaren and Adam Creighton and little Billy Bennett was a heck of a hockey player and junior and Johnny Hammond. So that team just believed in ourselves. We went on such a run to get there because Kitchener was hosting. They were already in. We had to beat them in the Ontario Hockey League, final. We had to finish first, and we had to play them in an 8-point series or something like that back then. And we had to play the majority of our games on the road in Kitchener and beat them. So our team was full of confidence and bravado. And when the chips were down, boy, we were a heck of a hockey team. So it was really unique that we went into Kitchener back in 1984 and were able to beat them in their building because they were a really great team. And we had a great defensive mindset. We took care of that part of it. And then the forwards just took care of that side of it. Whenever we needed big goals, boy, they gave it to us.
Your role now is, obviously with the St. Louis Blues. Just talk a little bit about what, fans of Ottawa can expect from St. Louis. Obviously got a big trade happen in the offseason, bringing in Braden Schenn, but just talk about how close you think they are to actually competing and getting over the hump for a cup.
Yeah, I think that start was a magnificent start for the Blues, considering they had such significant injuries. Jay Bouwmeester, to begin the year, Alexander Steen, Bouwmeester, Robbie Fabry retore his ACL. Zach Sanford is a good top nine player. He hurt his shoulder the first day at camp. The list goes on, and now they're without Jaden Schwartz. So they've been besieged by major injuries to top players, but yet they got out of the gates really, really well. They're a hard team to play against because I think they can play any style of game. They lack secondary scoring. I think that's been a big difference, especially when Schwartz went down, relying on Braden Schenn, Steen, and Stastny. Vladdy Tarasenko is a sniper, but he's been kind of on and off, especially since Schwartz was injured. So they play hard together. They're a core group of players that have, been to a conference final. They went six games against San Jose before losing in the conference final. They went, last year they went to the second round the year before. They've been a good team that have veteran players. Right now they're at a tough time of their schedule, and I think that has a lot to do with the injuries that they've had to take on.
Well, we have to ask you then your thoughts on adding to the roster, because as you know, here in Ottawa, the season's about something else at this point. What next? What bodies will you move out? And Mike Hoffman's name has been linked to many teams, including the St. Louis Blues, a few times here. Have you heard anything on that front at your end, Darren? And also, if it's not Hoffman, what do you think the Blues would like to do? Is that the kind of thing they want to add, a goal scorer to augment their forward ranks, or what do they need?
One thing I know about being around Doug Armstrong, who's done a really terrific job here as the GM, is he's a pretty discreet guy. He doesn't no information comes out of the St. Louis Blues, I'll tell you that. So whenever I hear a rumor, and of course we all heard all the insiders talk about Mike Hoffman, I leaned over to someone. We were in Canada, actually, at the time. We were in Calgary, and an Army was at a table next to us, and I just said to the guys beside me, I said, whenever I see something or read something, it's probably long gone by. Very seldom does Army make a trade that's hot in the room, in the rumor pile, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not certain if he wants to add on an existing contract. You know, they've got Robbie Fabry's coming back and Zach Sanford, and he's got contracts that he's got to pay up. So the only way I see a deal like that happen is dollar in and dollar out. And that would be a potential because they do need secondary scoring. And I think Hoffman's a terrific player that, you know, when he's in the right environment, like we saw last year leading up to the conference final and nearly in the Stanley Cup final, you know, he became a hot player at the right times. But if I'm looking at the St. Louis Blues, I'm actually not looking at a left-hand shot. I think they're in dire need of a right-hand shot. They don't have that. They don't have any snipers other than Tage Thompson's only a 20-year-old kid, and he's a first-round pick, and he's a right-hand shot. But we have so many left-handed centermen, and they need a right-hand sniper. So that might not be the area that they're actually looking in if you really dive in the lineup of the St. Louis Blues.
Goaltending. Jake Allen, obviously, I've never really seen that too often where they just don't tell him not even to come on a road trip last year. Was it last year? I think mm-hmm.
It was last year. Yeah.
Ended up, got off to a great start, but has struggled a little bit lately. Are they satisfied with what they have in net?
You know, it's interesting, Mike. I mean, Mike Yost had concern following his getting pulled the last game before they've been on a break. So the Blues are getting on the ice today for the first time since that last game because of their mandated break. But you know what? He fell into this same type of style of play last year, and that's when, you know, in February, that's when Ken Hitchcock was fired and Jim Corsi was let go and Marty Brodeur came down and had to fix a lot of things with them. But I don't think this is as severe as that was last year. But I do believe when he gets off the tracks that he's got to do a better job of getting his skates back on the tracks. I think all great goaltenders have that ability to deflect and to delete bad games quicker. And that's an area that if I were concerned about Jake, and I know him very well and I know how his work ethic is, but that's the area that all great ones have that same mantra that they can get back on the tracks quicker than he can. Luckily, Carter Hutton's been on fire, and it wouldn't surprise me if Carter Hutton, you know, starts in Toronto, and if he plays well, that they keep going with him in Ottawa. He's been that good. He's been sort of he's been the best backup goaltender in the National Hockey League. So they feel very confident with him while Jake Allen gets his game back in order.
All right, good stuff. We'll leave it there, Darren. Really appreciate your time here, and I just want to bring it back full circle. You told some great stories from your time to the Ottawa 67s, and as you know, back in those days, we didn't have NHL. Hockey in this town. The 67s were a really big deal in those great teams you played on. Greg sent in, just a listener, Greg, sent this in. Hey, Steve, if you could pass along a message to Panger, as he was the reason I became a goalie, and I still am. I was able to have a failed tryout with the 67s back in the day, playing with the Nepean Raiders, but Panger is a guy I still look up to. I'm taller than him, but he was my guy. So, Greg, you were his guy, Panger, and I think there's a lot of people, in Ottawa, especially in those days of those great 67s teams, would say the same.
Well, thank you, because when I was growing up, if Greg's listening right now, if I was growing up, I used to sneak into 67s games as much as possible, and the guys that I looked up to were Peter Lee and Tom McDonnell and Doug Wilson, and Steve Merringer was my favorite player for a long time because he was a smaller player and a skilled player like he was, and, you know, then I grew up, you know, with Steve Payne and Bobby Smith, and my goodness, I did the same thing, so thank you, Greg, for that, because I followed or I probably led in those footsteps of growing up being an Ottawa 67 fan. And all I wanted to do was play for the 67s. Little did I know that Ottawa would get an NHL team years later. But I hope there's still some young players out there that look at the 67s and look at these players and want to play in the Barber Poles.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing you here later this week. Special night for you Wednesday. You'll be at the arena at TD Place and, of course, calling the Sens Blues game on Thursday. Thanks a lot, Darren.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great being with you, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
There's Darren Pang joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, Ottawa's Bigger, Better Pizza. Gabriel Pizza, 310-7777. Thanks for that, Greg. I like sharing stuff like that, personal stories with a guest that we have on. And, Darren Pang, when he was just playing minor hockey, goaltender, going all the way to the Ontario Hockey League, and eventually made it, and he got onto the Calder ballot, if you recall, with the Chicago Blackhawks. And I've said this a lot about Darren Pang over the years. Can you fathom just how good of an athlete he had to be to play in the NHL at his size, especially a goaltender? When you look at the way goalies, they don't even look at you if you're not 6'1", it seems these days.
I've heard of teams that have said, if you're don't even look at a goalie who's not 6'2". Like, it's amazing. But that, it used to be, if you were small, goaltending was probably your best bet to try and make the NHL. And it's completely flipped. Now it's like, if you're not big as a goalie, forget it. Like, it's amazing how times have changed.
All right, with that, we'll take a break, come back with more and In the Box on TSN 1200.